Hey everyone, it's Jenny Heckman with Jenny's Tattletales, and today I have Veronica Scott. She's a sci-fi author, and she is here to promote her book. Now, you have to tell me if I get this wrong. Is it Jamoican?
Well, I pronounce it Jamoican, but you know.
Jamoican.
Yeah.
Badari? Badari?
Yes, Badari, yeah.
I love it. I love the title and I love different names and different world building. I think that it's just so cool and creative. It's awesome.
I guess when I created him originally, I wasn't really thinking about the fact that he would eventually have his own book. So I give him maybe the simplest name, you know.
Well, and I did look at your website. You've written a lot of books.
Yeah, I have like 43 published.
Wow. I'm struggling to get my series going and everything. I'm in so awe of people that can do that. How many books do you write a year?
Well, last year hardly counts because last year was, you know, a mess for everybody. Six to nine normally.
Wow.
Yeah, but, you know, this is my full-time job, so.
That is incredible.
And my children are grown. And so, you know, if I really put my mind to it, I have the time.
And how many children do you have?
I have two daughters.
Oh, daughters are the best. They're so sweet.
Yeah. I have three grandchildren. So
three. What are their ages?
Well, my oldest grandson is 18. And then my other two are their 3 and 9 months.
Oh.
Quite a spread.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, I'm on what, my fourth or fifth trip through all the Disney movies now, you know, each generation discovers them fresh.
Right. And then you get to go, you probably know all the songs by heart.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Okay. Well, you have done your author interview and that was done last Friday.
Thursday,
I'm sorry, on the 14th. So at the end of this, I'll be telling you how to get back to her interview because we're going to be asking her different questions than we did originally. So, because we didn't want you to have to keep you on your toes here.
Okay,
I'm just going to just say real quick that Veronica Scott is the USA Today bestselling author. She grew up in a house with a library as its heart. Wow, that is a wonderful way to put it. Dad loved science fiction, mom loved ancient history, and Veronica thought there needed to be more romance in everything. When she ran out of books to read, she started writing her own series. I absolutely love that. 7-time winner of the SFR Galaxy Award, as well as a National Excellence in Romance Fiction Award. Veronica is also the proud recipient of a NASA Exceptional Service Medal relating to her former day job, not her romances. Wow, that just begs a lot of questions, doesn't it?
Well, it's an actual medal. So when they gave it to me, this was years ago, the center director pinned it on like it was a corsage, you know, that was kind of awkward for him and me. So you don't do that anymore. They just sort of hand you the box.
Oh,
it was cool.
No more getting handsy.
He was such a lovely, you know, he's a scientist and it was just not that many women had received one at our center prior to that. And so I guess they were just figuring out that, you know, okay, pinning it on the lapel is not going to work.
Oh, that's incredible. So you really know what you're talking about when you're talking about sci-fi and all of those things. That's really fascinating.
It was great to be part of NASA and on the business side of things and, you know, do my thing to support the space program.
Yeah, were you part of like the Challenger series or
no? At Jet Propulsion Laboratory is robotic exploration of space. So we did, you know, the probes to Jupiter and Saturn and Mars rovers.
So exciting!
That's really cool.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, it was. It was a very. I really enjoyed my career there. So.
Yeah, and now you're into writing. So you got to tell me where did it all start? Where did your interest all originate?
Well, I started writing when I was 7 and my dad was a science fiction fan. So we would watch the old movies late at night together, you know? And so the first movie I really remember is Forbidden Planet.
I watched that one.
Flash Gordon, the old 1930s Flash Gordon serial. So, I mean, I just began by loving science fiction.
I
read Andre Norton and, you know, all the classics and started writing my own because there's just not enough. And there wasn't enough romance. So
in science fiction, it's true.
Especially at that time, you know, the books that I read, they were very romance non-existent.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, so do you have some words that you live by or a kind of motto?
Well, I never give up. I never give up. There's always a way under or around or some alternative. So I'm not easily defeated. Oh. And I try to take things one step at a time because it can get really overwhelming if you stack up everything that has to be done. It's better to break it into small pieces.
Absolutely. Wow. Both really great. Those are really great ones. That's really good. If you could turn one of your books into, and it could be any of your books, but and I'm going to say it again, is it Jamakin? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Jamakin. Who would you want, if it was turned into a movie, who would you want to portray your characters?
Well, the book I would actually turn into a movie first would be Wreck of the Nebula Dream, which is based on the Titanic sinking. That's the one all my readers always tell me they would love to see made into a movie, that one.
Wow.
Very exciting. That one would be easier because it's a single event. It's this spacecraft that runs into a disaster and how a small group of people survives. But I mean, if you had to make Jamakin into a movie, I think I would go with actors that I don't even know who they are yet, because I think that's exciting. You know, then when you're watching them on the screen, it's more easy to say, oh, this is really that character, because you haven't already seen them in 57 other movies. Yeah. not to criticize anybody's acting or anything, but it's just,
Yeah.
So, I mean, that would be my thing. Plus, you don't know who's out there. You know, there's so many actors that deserve a break and could do a really good job.
Yeah, I agree. Sometimes you get saturated with so many and you've really put them into a little pigeonhole and it's hard for them to break out of. And it's also hard for other people to see your work come to life in doing something like that.
Yeah, so I think that would be more fun. When I did the audiobooks, I have about 5 of my books made into audiobooks. And that actor, the voice actor, and we had a really good time collaborating on them. And it was exciting to see, how the actor interprets your character and the events that happened in your novel and their thoughts about it. That would be fun to collaborate.
I agree. I just actually had my second book turned into an audiobook, but it was my first time ever doing it. Uh-huh. And her take on it was so fun. It just incredible in voices and ways that they did it that you didn't think were nearly as snarky. She made snarky and it turned out better. So I think you're absolutely.
It was fun. I enjoyed working with my actor. So, audiobooks anymore, at least from my standpoint, they don't earn out and there's just all these issues. So they don't do any at the moment.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. So what do you love that most people don't like and wouldn't understand why you do?
I don't know. I don't really go by what other people like or don't
nothing weird or quirky that you like that other people might not understand.
I'm trying to think. I can't really think of anything. I mean,
okay. Let's see. How?
And if it was that hard to understand, I probably wouldn't admit to it on a podcast anyway. So
I love it. Okay. If writing is your first passion, what is your second?
Well, reading. I like to lose myself in a really good book, and fortunately there's so many out there.
Do you read sci-fi or do you read other?
Well, primarily I read sci-fi romance. I read fantasy, paranormal. I like Regency romance.
Oh, nice.
Romantic suspense. Every once in a while I'll read a contemporary. I really, really enjoyed Olivia Dade. She wrote some excellent books last year. So, it's kind of eclectic, but I don't read much contemporary romance. I like it to be set somewhere else.
Yeah, that's kind of fun. You get kind of an escape. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I read, a lot of nonfiction. I like, if I'm doing research, I have a whole library of books on ancient Egypt because I write a series set in ancient Egypt. And have every Titanic book ever published, probably.
I went through a Titanic kind of obsession phase as well. I know quite a few of those books myself. And it's what an interesting, fascinating night and how it all kind of has now covered history and you read it now and you look back and yeah, it's yeah. pretty incredible.
Yeah, and they're still, every year it seems like they find some new fact or nugget of information I haven't seen before.
Has it come to your town and where you've gotten to go see the museum?
It's been here a couple of times and neither time have I managed to get there, but that's all right, you know. Been there in my imagination. And I think James Cameron did a good job of depicting Titanic.
Yeah, he did.
The old British movie from the 1950s, that's my favorite. And I remember
That's a good one.
They really did a good job. And they had actual survivors and one of the officers as, you know, on set consultants. So I think that one's probably the closest.
I think the last survivor of the Titanic died just like within the last couple of years.
She was very, very young at the time. And but she survived.
It's incredible. Okay, if you could spend time with one of your characters from any of your books, whom would it be and what would you do during that day?
I think at this point, if we're talking about the current series, I'd probably want to spend the day with Jill. She's the mate of the Supreme Alpha. She was the heroine of the first book. And it would be interesting to go through a day with her and see, you know, how she handles issues relating to the pack of the Badari warriors and how they handle, there's a large human population that's been rescued. And it would just be interesting to spend the day with her.
So is this set on another planet then, or in space? Or okay, so it's on another planet. And
yeah, I don't ever visit the Earth in my books. I prefer to be out there on the edge of the galaxy.
Well, why would you?
Hey, let's get out there. The basic concept of the series is that these soldiers, the Badari warriors, were created by alien scientists, and then some to be soldiers against the humans. And then at some point, the aliens kidnapped an entire colony from the frontier, a human colony, and brought them to be used in experiments. And at some point, the Alpha, Idar, and Jill get together, become mates, and Jill manages to get the Badari free. So the rest of the series is about their war against the scientists and trying to, you know, free the other prisoners.
So she's a true heroine. She's out there.
She's pretty unique. I had fun establishing the series, and then, you know, I've had fun trying to make each book different. There's 15 books in the series now, and each time I have to challenge myself because I'm not going to just tell the same story over and over. You know,
exactly right.
I do with this one. So with Shamakan, his arc, he was in the labs, there were three groups of these soldiers and each group had their own alpha. And so now he's second place to Idar, the Supreme Alpha. And so he's had, in the book, he goes through this arc from being, knowing how to keep his pack alive and going in the lab as prisoners to, okay, now we're free and we could have a future, but how do we evolve from, you know, just being concerned with our everyday, just surviving every day. And so.
Yeah.
So readers have responded to that one really nicely. I've had some really good comments that they, you know, they saw his growth over the course of this book and enjoyed that.
I really love that when you do kind of concentrate on one character or whatever. And then, you know, it's always great in romance how you have that, whatever, the nice ending to it and everything. But I always love knowing what happened the next day, which I know isn't true to like the whole romance thing. You're supposed to be just happy that they lived happily ever after. But I always wanted to know. So I always loved like Nora Roberts and things like that when she would write a story and you got to see that those characters kind of still continued and had a life or had children or had whatever. Yeah. And that they woke up the next day and still were.
Life went on. Yeah.
Still,
and that's part of what I do in the series is, obviously, they all are still together. So the other characters come in. Jill and Idar play a role in Jamakan's book. You know, they participate, and some of the people from the previous books participate. I mean, that's one of my favorite series is Psy Changeling by Nalini Singh, and she's done that very successfully for years now. Each book features one couple, but you still see the other ones that you liked and enjoy. And so you get glimpses of, oh, they've had a child, or oh, they're, you know, they're never unhappy, but oh, these things are happening to them.
Yeah, but there is life that, or life intervened, and they are still, you know, doing their thing. I think people like reading about that.
They didn't just disappear that we shut the book, they were gone.
Yeah.
You know,
that's really, really nice. Okay, let's see, what do you envision, or what do you use to envision your characters? So you are talking about completely different world, you've created this world in your mind, do you storyboard, do you do any of those things? Are you a plotter or a pantser?
No, I just sit down and I write. I just, the story just comes, and the story kind of tells itself to me, you know. I don't, usually when I start, I know the beginning and the end, I know a couple of the major scenes, and that's it. And then I just start at the beginning and work my way through, and it just, it flows. So.
And so when your characters are talking to one another, are you seeing, are you envisioning what they look like in your, when you're writing them?
It's kind of like a movie in my head, you know, and so it's hard to explain the process, but I mean, you're a writer, you know, but the process of how it gets out of my head through my fingertips onto the quote paper. I'm very superstitious about my process. I don't mess with it at all.
That's really smart. Yeah, because so, I think
it works. So
if it works, why change it?
I don't. So I'm not a good example for people who, you know, a lot of people do find things useful, like you were mentioning, storyboarding and, you know, writing things on post-it notes and outlining. And the way it works for me, if I do too much advanced thinking, I won't overwrite it, because then my head, my muse says, oh, okay, we're done with that story.
It's, oh, wow. So you are a true answer then. You're a true, you just write it as it comes. That's pretty cool. I actually tried to write my first story that way, and then I struggled, and I found it. I thought I was a pantser, but I really did find out I was more of a plotter. So,
man, that's good. There's no one way that works for everybody. That's the important thing.
Well, I wish I could do it more like that. I think that comes from a really organic place. So that's pretty cool.
That's the only way I can do it.
Okay. So for my final question, and we kind of said this in the author interview, but what, when you talk about readers and stuff like that, what would you like to say to your readers that you have, or possibly new readers coming in? Is there any final thoughts for them?
Well, I really appreciate them, because otherwise it would just be me telling stories to myself and the cat. And it's so it's so wonderful to share the story, and people like your characters and they're interested in what's happening. And I got an email just yesterday from a reader, and she said, oh, it's all your fault. You know, I stayed up all night reading this book. And I have other readers who say they reread the books. And that's the highest compliment in the world to me. So, you know, I love writing, but the readers are what makes it all worthwhile, because if it was just me and the cat, I don't need to write it down, you know, for sharing it. That's the special part about it. And it's always so cool to me when people actually are enjoying the latest book or one of the older books. And I think, oh, phew, you know, I did it okay.
I do love that. That's great. Yeah. Okay.
So I appreciate my readers.
Yeah. They make us stay in business. So it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome to be a dreamer like that. So it's good. Okay. So like I said, you already did your interview. And if you go on to JennyHackman/spotlight, you can find Veronica Scott on my website. Or you can follow her on her own social media, which you can also find on the website, or on her website, which is veronicascott.wpcomstaging.com. So do you have any other final words that you...
Thank you very much for having me as your guest. That was great. I enjoyed it.
Truly appreciate it. This is our new kind of thing that we're doing, and it's hard, because when you're a writer, you kind of like to stay in your office and do your thing, and so coming out and being on video and doing the video recordings and all of those things, it's a bit intimidating for somebody that's probably typically an introverted person. So I truly appreciate you coming on and spending some time with us. It's been lovely to get to know you.
Wow, it's been nice to get to know you too. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.